Welcome back to another episode of Cohen's Corner. It's been a rocky bit of games since the last time we've talked to you guys. The Mets have lost series to teams like the Rockies, the Reds, the Tigers, the Nationals. It's been rough, but this week they did beat the best team in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays. So kind of classic Mets, you know, like not what you'd expect, but obviously they had that crazy comeback win the other night with Alvarez tying the game. Vientos hit his first home run. Alonso won it in the 10th. Then they won the next day. Alonso homered again. So, I mean, hopefully this is going to get the team on the right track. But, yeah, it's definitely not been the start Mets fans were hoping for. But there's no reason why they can't turn around, in my opinion. But, Elizabeth, how are you feeling on the state of the team?
I'm good. Kind of like you were saying, the last time we recorded, we were just talking about before this, was right after the Dodgers series, which coincidentally was, I believe, the last series that the Mets actually won. So I guess we should stop taking several week breaks from recording because clearly the Mets need us to continue their momentum forward. So we apologize for that. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's on the one hand, like I've been trying to see the bigger picture over the last few weeks as they've struggled. And we're going to get into a couple of the reasons why they've struggled so much over, you know, the last 5-6 series. But on one hand, yes, obviously it's been very sort of painful to watch. A lot of their games have been very kind of similar in terms of the giving up of several runs in the first couple innings and then the Mets not being able to come back. But I also am trying to look at it from the bigger picture. Yes, now after beating the Rays, they're 22-23, I think. And, you know, the playoff standings at this point in the season are sort of pointless to be looking at. But if you actually look at teams around the league, there's a lot of playoff teams from last year that are hovering around 500 or struggling. So if you look at the bigger picture, the Mets aren't really in a much worse spot than a lot of other teams with high expectations. So it's, yes, they have not looked good over the last few weeks, but you really have to think that with the amount of talent on the roster and the amount of talent in the minors, especially in the position player side, that things hopefully will take a turn. And I think the series against the Rays was a really good indication of, you know, the formula for the Mets being good and winning games, which is decent, good to decent starting pitching, at least Pete Alonso hitting home runs and very clutch saves by David Robertson, which I know he only saved the last game of the series and he gave up a couple runs against in the second game. But the point being, I feel like the formula is there and it doesn't always work out, but I think we've seen that the Mets have sort of been able to fall into their winning formula a couple times over the last couple days. And there, you know, we can definitely talk more about the game on Tuesday, which was very exciting. But yeah, overall, it's like I'm trying not to be too doom and gloom because there is a lot of baseball left. And also seeing it from the perspective of, you know, last year, I feel like they basically didn't lose a series till like mid-May at all. And they didn't get swept till like September in any respect. And so I think they were sort of did so much smooth sailing that when they got to September and things were a little difficult, they had nothing to draw from in terms of any struggles earlier in the season. And also it felt like a huge crash down to earth. So in some ways, you know, they've had basically a whole month from mid-April to mid-May of scuffling. And I do wonder if that maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, to be honest. I mean, it looks like the Braves are sort of their usual selves in terms of hitting tons of homers and winning almost all their games. So, you know, it remains to be seen how achievable the division will ultimately be. There will be some more head-to-head games, obviously, to help determine that. But overall, like, it's really not... Nothing that's happened so far is the end of the world in terms of their season prognosis. So, you know, a great series win against the Rays. Hopefully that actually does give them some momentum. I know the Guardians have sort of struggled at times this season, offensively especially. So we'll see if the Mets can take advantage of that. But yeah, overall, I'm feeling much better now than I was like 3 days ago when it seemed like impossible for the Mets to win any series, let alone a game even. But I do feel like, yeah, overall, like if they're going to struggle, I mean, I'd rather they not struggle the whole year, but at least struggling now as opposed to having absolutely no obstacles and then, you know, crashing down in September, like ultimately, if they're going to end up in a good spot, hopefully at the end of the year, which, you know, we hope that happens, but it's not the worst time for them to be scuffling a bit. So hopefully it doesn't cost them too much in the end.
Yeah, you make a really good point that they really didn't face much adversity at all throughout the entire season until like the last 2 weeks, pretty much. I mean, a little bit in September, obviously early on, they were playing some crap teams. They didn't play that well, but Yeah, especially towards the end of September, they were really facing some adversity, and it seemed like almost they didn't know how to handle it. So maybe with them going, like you said, through this rough patch, that'll help prepare them for the inevitable slump they're going to hit in the middle of the summer, like every team does. I mean, with the season, baseball season being so long compared to any other sport, it's the longest season there is. And you hit so many peaks and valleys. You just kind of got to weigh them out and make sure that the valleys aren't that low, you know, and they don't last that long, which hopefully the Mets don't have another stretch where it is this bad for this long. But obviously there's going to be some time where they're going to struggle, and there's going to be times where they're setting the world on fire, hopefully. But yeah, I think this could, in the end, like you said, end up being good for them that they're facing some adversity here. And hopefully maybe it's like the opposite of last year with them being great all year and struggling at the end. Maybe they'll struggle now and it'll be not smooth sailing, but kind of close to it the rest of the year. Who knows? I mean, and like you said, the Braves, yeah, they're winning a lot of games, but the division's still obtainable. I think the Mets are 6.5 games back as we speak. So it's
six
not
games
that
back, I think.
Six games. Okay. So it's not that far out of their reach.
Look, the Braves were 10 games back last year and won the division.
Yeah, and look what happened. And it wasn't even so much the Mets collapsing. Like, right. Remember, the Mets won 101 games. Okay. It's not like they just completely folded over and gave it to the Braves. The Braves were just playing historic baseball,
winning every single
series. Second half of the season. Yeah. So, I mean, and I know a lot of people have made this point that look at the last, I think it's like four full season World Series winners or National League champions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've all been pretty much around 500 or sub 500 at this time of the year, and they went on to make a run. So you never know, not to say that that's definitely going to happen with the Mets, but like you said, there's just too much talent on the roster in the minors. If they decide to call a couple more guys up, it was good to see Vientos finally get his shot. Hopefully Buck puts him in the lineup every day. I know people were freaking out yesterday, and I mean, I kind of agree.
I was one of those people. I'm sorry. I agree.
Vogelbach's not him saying Vogelbach's good too. Vogelbach's okay, but he's getting on base, sure, but we didn't bring him here just to
get
on
base. He's not the future, though.
He's supposed to hit home runs. He's not, but we brought him here to hit home runs and hit doubles, hit extra base hits, come up in the clutch. He's not doing that. Like, sure, he's getting his walk when there's nobody on.
That's all
he's
doing.
But when he comes up in the seventh or eighth with guys on base, he's swinging at balls way out of the zone, which usually isn't his game. He's usually very good at not expanding the zone, but Vogelbach just hasn't been it. And I would much rather see Vientos struggle and try to figure it out than watch Vogelbach do what he's been doing. And who knows if Vientos would even struggle, because look at the other night when he played. I think he hit three balls over 100 miles an hour, and he obviously hit that home run. So I think the kids being able to play is really going to invigorate this team. And, I mean, Alvarez has to get his playing time. I know we're going to dive into Sanchez and if he's going to take away some playing time. But Alvarez, I know he struggled lately, but they got to let him figure it out. Beatty needs to play every day. Vientos needs to play pretty much every day. I think that's the best thing for this team, and the rest of the veterans are going to feed off the energy of the young guys. So hopefully they continue that and it leads to good things.
Right. And again, what puzzles me about the whole like Vogelbach DH situation, like, first of all, I didn't even think he would be on the team this year. I was like, oh, they're probably going to like use the kids and he's not necessarily going to like automatically be penciled into the every right-handed pitcher every day. And second of all, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because they just don't have that much invested in him. They're paying him, what, $1.5 million this year? Like, it's not like they're paying him. It's not like they signed him to, like, even $15 million per year contract. That's what I don't get, why he is so entrenched. Like, he's, you know what I mean? It's like they don't have a lot invested in him. They traded for him, yes, but he's not costing them that much. I know it's not all like money, obviously, but even just thinking from that perspective, I don't really understand why he's so entrenched in the lineup and when he's so not versatile. Like, he is not better than at anything other than maybe plate discipline, which even is sometimes shaky, than any of their prospects. So, and I like him as a person, and I'm sure he's like a great presence in the clubhouse and on, you know, in the dugout, but I just don't really get why he is so entrenched on the team when he offers nothing that anyone else can't provide. Like, you're telling me that, like, Vientos hits righties and lefties. Like, why should Vogelbach get any opportunity over Vientos? At least give Vientos like 2 weeks to like DH a bunch, you know, and they just seem to not want to DH the prospects also, which.
But Vientos is a DH, you know, like, he's not really going to play a ton of third base.
I know,
base.
But
like,
even like Buck's comments yesterday. Buck, like, oh, we can't play two people at third base. I'm like, you have the DH spot. Like, Vientos' development, yes, you don't want him to necessarily forget how to field entirely, but his development is not going to be stunted more by DHing than by not playing. Which
yeah, I agree.
you know
and
what
if
I mean?
he's here long term, and so is Beatty, Beatty's going to be playing the majority of third base. Like I'm saying, Vientos is going to DH anyway. Let him hit. Like his tool is hitting through the minors. He was never lauded for his fielding.
No.
It was always his hitting. So,
and they never tried him in the outfield
lineup.
Or anything to give that.
Yeah, but
have that be
or even
an option.
If they have to put Beatty in the outfield, they could. But yeah, I don't.
But it's just baffling to me that they're so unwilling to be flexible with the prospects, and yet. And I know, again, we've seen, luckily, in short order, Beatty has gotten the majority of time at third. Alvarez has gotten the majority of time in catcher. So that's what we wanted. And that's basically what's been happening over the last few weeks. So thank goodness for that. And honestly, Escobar seems to have, since he's been basically demoted to a bench role, he's actually putting together much better at bats than he was when he was playing every day for the first like 3-4 weeks. So props to him for sort of accepting the role that he's been given, because, you know, I still feel like he has a place on the team over a lot of other people. You know, I mean, that's why they ended up sending Guillorme down, which stinks, but like makes sense roster wise. But
yeah, roster-wise does. Yeah.
Because if Escobar is going to be your backup infielder, you know, he's serviceable at.
Yeah, and you need some
positions.
Power off the bench, and Escobar gives that to you. And like
Guillorme,
you said, he's been,
love
he's been
him,
hitting
but
really
he only
well.
Hits singles, if that. So
yeah. And Escobar's been, I mean, even when he's been pinch hitting, I know he's gotten a couple starts, but even as a pinch hitter, I think he's got like 2 home runs
yeah.
in the last couple weeks. And when he's been filling in, he's been good, and he's always been good from the right side. He just last year, obviously, he struggled from the left side, and early this year as well. But if you can get him some starts as a right-handed DH, like I would much rather find a way for him to be your right-handed hitter than Tommy Pham. You know, like I don't understand why Tommy Pham's playing so much. I think he's going to be the next guy to go. I think
that's
he might
why
be gone before Vogelbach, but I don't understand. I would be figure out a way to keep Canna in the outfield instead of DHing him or whatever they've been doing. And let Escobar hit, you know, like Escobar can even play the outfield. I would stick him out there a little bit. He played there in the WBC if you need to.
Yeah. But I mean, I would,
I'd rather
like
him hit than in
the
than
lowest. I don't really know if I want him in the outfield. I don't
but
know.
But would you rather have that or Tommy Pham playing? Because I think,
well,
Escobar
I'd rather
fine
have
out there.
Escobar a second and McNeil in the outfield.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I'm saying if they're convinced that they don't want to do that, I mean, I don't know. I think that's an option that you could definitely, every once in a while, like they did with Beatty the other day, you can stick Escobar out in the left field. He's played there a few times and he's been okay. So I
right.
mean, we're not going to play him there every day, but if you needed to get his bat in the lineup,
emergency,
especially as a right-handed hitter, I would much rather find a way to get his bat in the lineup than Tommy Pham.
Right. And look, I know, to his credit, even after the slander that I'm sure he received for online, Tommy Pham did get the game winning hit yesterday. So like, I do appreciate that he made contact in that situation with runners at first and third. So thank you. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more. We can get into more of the catching at, like, in a sec, but in terms of kind of the roster situation, I do, unless I'm like making this up, I feel like Pham has been playing a lot more recently, which leads me to believe that they might be trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Give him a little bit of a run.
I was thinking this
a
couple days ago, and you just mentioned it again. Like, why are they playing him so much? Again, they don't have a lot invested in Pham. They signed him for 1 year, $6 million. So to me, that's... Look, they cut Robinson Cano last year.
That's what I was thinking. They cut Cano, who's owed $24 million last year and $24 million
this year.
And they're hanging on to Vogelbach, who's owed $1.5 million, and Pham, who's owed $6 million. Like that.
And they got rid of Ruff in spring training.
Yeah. It's got to end soon.
That's the only thing I'm thinking is, like, they actually maybe are thinking of calling up Mauricio or going to do something. Maybe Sanchez, maybe somebody goes for Sanchez if they call him much.
It'll probably be Perez. They're probably just going to.
Well, true. But, well, that makes more sense. But yeah, the only thing I can think of is of why Pham is getting so much playing time is, like, maybe they are actually either going to trade him. Although I don't know what you could even get for him, honestly. But like, there's really no reason, unless Canna's injured, that Pham should be playing so much, which leads me to believe that maybe, you know, he's sort of being exposed in how much he's been playing, because, you know, he's been playing like half of the games recently. And he wasn't during April. I feel like he wasn't playing that much. So that leads me to believe that the fact that he's playing so much is they are actually trying to see what they have in him, which maybe means he's not long for the roster in some respects. And Vogelbach, I don't know. I know I just said this, but I just don't get why, like, he of all people would be taking a bats away from
him. He's not even hitting for a good average anymore. Like, earlier in the season, he was hitting like 280, 290. He's down to like 240 now. So I don't.
Right. I mean,
it's not. What is he providing for you? I don't understand.
Well, I guess the thing is, look, Vientos has played one game, so let's check back in like a week and a half and see how this.
Yeah,
is
but
going.
Let's give him that chance to show us, like,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't you want to ride the hot hand too? Like, I get every day is a new day, but he hit the ball so well the other night, and his home run came off a right-handed pitcher.
Like,
so
saved the season morale completely.
I understood Alvarez, he's dinged up, it's a day game after a night game. I didn't have a problem with that at all. Like, I completely understood that. That's going to happen. He's a catcher. Like, that happens with the position. But I don't understand why Vientos didn't play. I mean, they got the win, obviously, but Vogelbach came up in a couple key situations and just didn't come through. So, I don't know.
He just never looks like he's trying to hit. It always looks like he's trying to walk. And then when he gets a hit, it's like the other team screwed up and the ball like snuck through the infield. He doesn't hit the ball hard. Like, that's the thing.
Which he used to. Like, that's what we're hoping for. He's going to hit against right-handed pitchers. He's going to hit the ball hard into the gaps over the fence. And like, what does he have, 2 home runs this year?
Yeah.
And they both come in like situations that didn't matter. They were either losing or up by a lot. Like, it didn't.
Yeah, like, name one clutch hit he's actually gotten.
He hasn't. The only one that comes to mind is last year. He was first game, he hit that grand slam. Remember that first 2 weeks he was sick.
Right.
And then he fell off. But this year, I couldn't tell you. Like you said, I like the guy. I'm sure he's really cool. Like, I've seen interviews with him. He seems like a really good guy. His teammates love him. But if you could find a way to keep him on the bench, do it. But otherwise,
I just don't think he should be. Yeah. I just don't get
why he's
so entrenched.
Like you said, there's no versatility there. Like, if you're going to have him on the bench, you want guys on the bench that you can put in the field. You can do this. You can pinch hit with them. You don't got to work. Like, he's not – you can't put him in the field anywhere. He can't run the bases. He can't – so I don't – like, I would much rather them cut him, give Vientos the at-bats, bring up, say, Tim LeCastro to have – because that guy – to have Tim LeCastro, I mean, earlier in the year, you saw it with his speed. That could be a big deal at the end of game, stealing
him
bases.
Him instead of Pham.
Or I'm saying, if you cut Vogelbach and let LeCastro have it, and you just give all the DH at-bats to Vientos. You can give some to Alvarez or Sanchez, whatever. I know they're all righties, but it doesn't really matter. I don't know. Something's got to give.
Right. I mean, it does seem like there's a bit of a roster crunch in a few different areas, which we can also get into this now. Like, again, one of the more puzzling things I've seen recently, I don't really understand this, but let's get into it. So the Mets signed Gary Sanchez, former Yankees and Twins catcher, to a minor league deal. And I think he hasn't had until like today to basically, they had until today to add him to the 40-man roster, I think, or he could opt out of his contract. And so I don't think it's been officially announced yet, although let me double check, but it seems like the Mets are planning on calling him up in some form and I guess adding him to the roster to, it seems like he's going to be playing in some form. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
That means that currently in across like AAA, the injured list and the major league team, they have Alvarez, Gary Sanchez, who also might DH too. So maybe he takes a bat away from Vogelbach, you know, I don't know, but Alvarez, Sanchez, Narvaez, who's apparently going to start a rehab assignment soon. He might be back in June. Nito, who is on the aisle with the vision issue. I think he's going to be back soon. They'll probably play him, I'm guessing, in a couple of rehab games to, you know, see if he can see the ball. And Perez, who I think still has minor league options. So between those like 5 guys, I mean, what do you think? I personally just didn't really understand the Gary Sanchez signing from the beginning, unless the plan was to try him at DH, because I just, from a catching perspective, his reputation is well established. And I don't know if that's like drastically changed in the last, you know, since I've last seen him in a game, but he offers you not a lot. He's worse defensively than Alvarez. So it's not like he'd be replacing him in that respect. And his bat has just been very inconsistent over the last few years. I mean, he was an all-star, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, but is that really enough of something for the Mets to hang on that he should be getting at bats from someone else? I don't know. Like, what do you think about the whole situation? Because it just seems to me like they have too many catchers and none of them are that good, except Alvarez's potential is way higher. Oh, and they've also invested a lot more in him as their top prospect. So what do you think about the whole situation?
I mean, I really don't mind them taking a flyer on Sanchez, just because Michael Perez, I know he's all right defensively, but he's not really offering you much from the offensive side. I mean, I know his first game he had 3 hits, I think, but I don't know. The team needs some power, so Sanchez obviously provides that. Like you said, he's not very good defensively, although I've seen some reports that he has improved on his defense. That remains to be seen. But yeah, I don't know. As long as it really doesn't cut into Alvarez's playing time a ton. Like, I know Sanchez will play a couple times a week at catcher. Hopefully he'll DH a little bit, but also that's taking away at-bats now from Vientos at DH. So I don't know, but he does provide that power that the team's been lacking. So let's see. Maybe they can catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe it's just a month thing where he's on the team, and then once they get a couple, like Narvaez back, because I don't know. If Alvarez, he's been slumping again lately. He started to find it. I know he hit that home run, but really in his last 7-8 games, he's been slumping again. So I don't know. Maybe the option is then to send down Alvarez because Nito doesn't have any options. Perez, I think, might have one. So they're obviously going to send him down. They don't have much invested in him. They're going to, Narvaez is going to have a spot on this team. They're giving him too much money, I think, to just cut him.
They're not going to cut him, but that's the only question I have is like, it's fine while Nito and Narvaez are sidelined to take a chance.
Yeah, for now it's fine, but who knows?
I don't have a problem with that. But I just wonder, like, when both of those are inevitably healthy, like, I just feel like sending down Alvarez, like, it's going to be such a morale killer. You know what I mean?
But if he's hitting the ball well, they're not going to send him down. But if he continues to hit under right around 200, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I love Alvarez and he's going to be a great player over time, but if he's not adjusting to major league pitcher in say a month when those two guys are ready to come back, maybe that's going to be the best thing to do, but we'll see, because if he's tearing it up, they're not going to send him down. They only send him down because he's playing like he's playing now, which I know he hit that home run that was huge the other night, but he's really not, he's not hitting a ton.
He's not getting hits.
He's supposed to be throwing guys out. Like his arm is supposed to be his calling card. He's really not doing that. And I know that also is due to the pitcher not coming home fast enough. And
Although if you watch the games, I don't know. His like the throws he made when the Rays stole 7 bases in one game the other day, which I think was the game he had the big home run. Like his throws were fast and on target. The Rays were just getting huge jumps. His arm is strong and he was making accurate throws. It just didn't happen to get anyone.
And he's
out.
Been blocking the ball really well. I really liked what I've seen from him blocking the ball. Everybody raves about his framing. The defense hasn't – it almost reminds me of Alonso a couple years ago.
Exactly.
How much of a liability he's going to be at first base. And obviously he's not a – gonna. He's a decent first baseman now, but at first he wasn't setting the world on fire, but he wasn't ever the reason they were losing games.
Nope.
He wasn't making these huge errors like people were predicting he was going to. And the same thing kind of with Alvarez, that they were saying his defense needs to catch up with his bat. But I feel as though his defense has been better than his offense since he's been here. And I've been very impressed with his defense so far, just because of all the people that were saying how bad he was defensively. And I mean, we'll see over time. It's only been a month and a half he's been playing, but I don't know. I've liked what I've seen from him behind the plate. And I think hopefully he'll turn it around, but I guess they're just going to make the decision on whoever's hottest. If Sanchez isn't playing well, he'll obviously be cut. They have nothing invested in him.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. But what is it? I mean, at this point, what does it hurt? I'd rather have Sanchez coming off the bench than Michael Perez. Like if you need a guy to hit a home run late in the late innings, wouldn't you rather want that? I mean,
But they would be bringing Perez to pitch hit though. Like
that's what I'm saying. You can't, but with Sanchez, you could. I just think currently until Narvaez and or Nito come back healthy and we'll see what happens with that. But I think currently, I think it honestly makes a little bit of sense. Why not? What do they have to lose?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I guess I'm more thinking slightly longer term. I think I just hope they give Alvarez at least another month. You know, like
they're gonna have to. Nobody's gonna be back in that time,
right? Like Narvaez isn't back yet.
Narvaez 3 weeks at the best case scenario is back in 3 weeks. But yeah, I think Alvarez, if he proves himself, I don't see why they would send with the power he provides. Why would they send Alvarez down? But
right.
If Sanchez is good, I mean, Sanchez at his peak with the Yankees those first couple years, he was unbelievable. And that's kind of what you're hoping Alvarez is going to be. Not saying Sanchez is that.
That was
now.
Years ago,
but if,
though. You
I know, but if Sanchez can hit those home runs and give you that power, I don't know. If Alvarez isn't doing well, it's kind of just like an insurance policy in a way.
Right. I guess, like, I'm just not that. I just don't feel like Sanchez's potential based on his history is more enticing to me than Alvarez's potential based on like
For sure Alvarez's future. Potential is through the roof, but Sanchez, I mean, right now I think he could provide you that power that maybe Alvarez is still he
or
has
Vogelbach
the power,
isn't
he
giving you, you know.
Yeah, like, Vogelbach for sure, but I don't, it's just like you said, long term it's gonna be, we're gonna have to figure it out, but I think currently for the next month or so it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. I guess I was just more thinking of the idea. I mean, assuming Perez is basically a non-factor in terms of them just being able to send him down. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens today. If I don't know, maybe I'll check now and see. It's not like they would have called him up already, but yeah, I more was just thinking of like a month down the line, like especially if they have, you know, they brought up Beatty, they brought up Vientos. You know, I know those three, as they've said in interviews, really feed off of each other. And so I think the energy of them all being on the team at the same time is really exciting. And I would hate for that to get taken away because the Mets signed three veteran catchers that aren't really that good. You know what I mean? But I guess we'll see how it plays out. I'm willing to give it like a chance, but I'm also really not that, unless Gary Sanchez is like doing incredibly, I'm just really not that interested in like what he has to offer personally. Yeah. I know
he's been hot at
AAA,
so maybe they're just going to catch lightning in a bottle, you know?
Maybe.
Even if it's just for a few weeks that he provides power. I mean, the Mets right. really use that. So
I guess I've just never personally been a big fan of him. I mean, I know he was on the Yankees all those years, but
that's what it is that he's on the Yankees. If we weren't in New York, like if we weren't watching him and analyzing
it's not even
him,
that,
his entire
I don't know. Because there's players in the Yankees who, if they came to the Mets, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
for
but I feel
reason,
like it's so much more magnified. Like, we know about everything. We saw pretty much every game with him. I feel like if we were in a different city or whatever, we wouldn't be excited about it, but we'd definitely be, as a fan base,
more
open
intrigued,
to it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. I don't know how much more I have to say on that, but it just, yeah, it seems like a potentially a bit of a logjam. These things sometimes often have a way of working themselves out, so we'll see. Maybe someone needs longer to come back. You know, I don't know. I don't necessarily see the Mets like... I mean, the Mets could, I guess, just get rid of Nito, but because I don't think they could send him down. But I guess they could always DFA him and then send. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. But I know everyone likes him and he's like well respected by the pitchers. But it's not like he's. I mean, he's a good arm. It's not like he's irreplaceable either. So I guess we'll see.
You want to look ahead? What's going on here? So the Cleveland's coming into town. Obviously, the Mets made that trade with them a couple years ago. We got Lindor. We gave them Jimenez. And Rosario and a couple other prospects. So what do you think of the trade overall looking back a couple years later? And what do you expect for the future going forward for both teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And also, funnily enough, Carrasco, who was the other big piece of the Mets,
oh, right. Yeah, Carrasco,
is coming
sorry.
Back from injury today. So yeah, we can talk about him in a second. But yeah, I overall, like Jimenez and Rosario, I don't think they've... What are their stats this year? Like, how have they been?
They're both like mediocre this year. Jimenez isn't anywhere close to where he was last year.
Right. Cause I know he had like an incredible season last year. I think he finished like in top 10 in MVP voting.
Yeah.
And
Rosario was really good too.
Rosario had a really good year. I mean, look, ultimately, I think having Lindor at shortstop for the next still like 10 years, I think the Mets made out pretty good in that trade. Like, overall, he's been, you know, maybe offensively not quite overall what they expected, but I mean, he had a great season last year, drove in 107 runs, hit like 20 home runs. I mean, last year he was phenomenal on both sides of the ball, and this year he's been excellent defensively again. You know, bat, he's been driving in runs even though he's not necessarily getting tons of hits, so I think the production has been there even if his stats don't like jump out at you. But overall, I mean, look, he's also provided a lot of leadership, I think, on the field, off the field. You know, I am thoroughly happy to be watching him for the next bunch of years as a Mets shortstop. You know, Carrasco clearly past his prime, so we'll see what the
Mets
can get out of him.
He's been bad. There's no other way to put it. Carrasco's
right. I mean,
bad.
He was pretty good. The thing is, he was
okay
good
last year.
He was pretty good last year. So
year before,
this year,
he sucked. This year, not good.
This year, I don't know.
Maybe the elbow or whatever was wrong with him. Maybe it'll prove to be that's what the issue was. Like, even if Carrasco could come back and just have like an ERA around 4, like that would be much better than his 8.56 that he currently has.
Yeah, if he could give like 3 runs, 5 innings starts, I mean, I'd be okay with that. That
Mets.
Almost seems like asking.
That'd be like one of the best starters on the Mets at this point.
I know. Yeah, but look, I'm not holding out too much hope for how he's going to do the rest of the year. But overall, in terms of the trade itself, yes, I think the last time the Mets faced the Guardians, I think was in 2019, because I was just seeing something on SNY or on Twitter from SNY about, like, remember JD
that
Davis
was in,
had that.
Was that in Cleveland? Oh, no,
no,
that was,
it was at
City
Field.
New York. Yeah.
Do you remember JD Davis had that like walk off against the Guardians? It was against Brad Hand and the Guardians.
Yeah.
And then he did like the really fun post game interview. I think that was the last time the Mets actually played Cleveland. So we'll see. I know one of my good friends is a really big Guardians. He roots for the Mets, but he's like mostly a Guardians fan. So I'm sure we'll be texting throughout the weekend. But yeah, like overall, I feel like this trade in general has worked out for both teams pretty well, because the Cleveland has a middle infield with Rosario and Jimenez, even though this year neither has been amazing offensively. But I think defensively, you know, Rosario is funny on the Mets. Like he was like the number one prospect of baseball, I think, when he came up. But Lindor definitely is better defensively than Rosario ever was.
He's
with
a
the
better
Mets.
Hitter for sure.
And a better hitter. But
I think
Cleveland
more Jimenez,
is pretty satisfied
Jimenez.
With what they've got. And the Mets have Lindor, and they've gotten, you know, some halfway decent starts from Carrasco over the last 2 years. So I guess we'll see. Overall, I think it's worked out. And like,
Cleveland's got to be happy with it, because
I wish Cleveland well, but I'm not like pining for either player at this point. It's not like Lindor has been terrible or injured.
No, he's been last year. I mean, he set all those records for the Mets for a Mets shortstop. He had a great year. I know, obviously, the struggles are well documented in the first year, but a lot of players face that when they come to New York. He's not hitting for a high average this year, but like you said, he's had some clutch hits. He's got a lot of extra
base
hits. He's
hitting 230, and no one's complaining about his batting average. Yeah, so who cares?
But he's coming up with some clutch hits. So, exactly. I mean, it's okay, but I know Cleveland, they had to get rid of Lindor. They weren't going to be able to afford to keep him, so they traded him, and I think they got as good of a deal as they could have gotten. They had got an all-star second baseman, and they got a league above-average shortstop with Amed Rosario, and he's been good for them. He's stealing some bases. He's playing decent defense for them at short. So, I mean, we'll see if either of those prospects pan out. But, yeah, I think there's not a ton of win-win trades, but so far I would definitely call this a win-win. The Mets obviously benefited a lot from Lindor last year. He was a big leader for them and a big reason they won so many games. And like I just said, Jimenez was an all-star second baseman for them. Rosario was good, and they made the playoffs as well. So I think it was both teams made off pretty well in the trade, and it'll be cool to kind of see them all on the field tonight and throughout the weekend.
It will be. Yeah, no, I'm excited for that because it's the first time, I think, since that trade that, yeah, either that they face each other. So Lindor wouldn't have, I don't think, faced the Guardians since then. But yeah, looking forward to seeing them. They're always a team I sort of root for in the background in terms of, you know, I have really nothing against them overall historically. So they've been a very kind of upstart, scrappy bunch over the last couple of years. And so I'm excited to see. I mean, hopefully the Mets win this series. But in general, during the season, I tend to root for Cleveland anyway. So hopefully they have a good year. I know they've sort of been, I think they're a similar spot record-wise to where the Mets are. Let's see. It looks like, yeah, because the Mets right now are 22-23. Cleveland is 20-23, so they play two fewer games. But similar-ish in terms of a few games back in their division, hovering slightly under 500, but clearly with the potential to have, you know, win 90 games this year, especially in their, you know, somewhat weak division. So
yeah, they should do well in that division. I mean, obviously
they won it last year. So
yeah, Josh Bell, their big free agent signing, hasn't been that good. You would think he's going to turn around at some point. I mean, he always kills the Mets, so I bet he'll have a big weekend.
God.
But
oh my God, he killed them last year. And
he always does. I mean, he always hits well against them. So obviously that'll happen. We'll see Jose Ramirez. He's a really good player. We'll get to see Shane Bieber at some point this weekend. So yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting series of two teams that obviously haven't started the way they want to, but they're both still hopeful of making a run and going deep into the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. They're pretty polar opposites in terms of, you know, Cleveland, obviously, other than signing Jose Ramirez long-term, not really known for shelling out huge contracts, as evidenced by trading Lindor to the Mets. And the Mets, obviously, with super high expectations after shelling out tons of money and bigger contracts in the offseason. So they have somewhat different, you know, it's funny because sometimes the totally different teams coming from totally different areas end up often in the same place. So right now they have pretty similar record. We'll see how their whole seasons pan out, but yeah, well, we shall see. Hopefully it should be a fun series. I know Cleveland offensively, like I said, I don't think is setting the world on fire this year. So we'll see if the Mets pitchers can maybe lock in and take advantage of that. They don't hit tons of home runs either. So maybe that's a good thing. The Mets have really struggled with giving up lots of homers this year. So, and walks. So we'll see. I know they're pretty patient. Cleveland hitters tend to be pretty patient as well. So we shall see. But before we wrap up, I guess we were talking a little bit about like the state of the Mets rotation before we signed on, but you know, I guess looking at it now, if Carrasco's back, who are they looking at? They got, well, Scherzer, Verlander, McGill, Carrasco, I guess is back, and Senga. So, because who was filling in? I guess they had Lucchese make a few starts. I think because of the off days, they were like, they finagled it. But
and Peterson pitched earlier this week, didn't he?
He
got rocked in his whatever his last start was.
Yeah, it's interesting because like McGill hasn't been great overall, but I mean he's turned in a few.
But he's giving you
starts.
Some moments. He's not getting shelled every time out.
He just looks more in control than Peterson has this year, which is baffling to me because at the beginning of the season, you know, McGill wasn't even supposed to be in the rotation, first of all.
Verlander got hurt, and then McGill got called upon. Yep.
So, overall,
I'm very surprised Peterson's been so bad. Like, I was expecting a lot out of him.
I was, too. And I feel like he was really, like, given a shot.
Oh, he was.
When Quintana went down.
Oh, it's on him. Yeah, he was definitely given a shot.
And, you know, I know he... And also, this isn't, like, his first season, either. I mean, he came up in 2020. He's had a few years now, and I don't know. I'm curious, like, what the future is for him in the organization, unless he really turns it around. I don't know. He just seems to sort of have some of the issues that really plagued Steven Matz at the end of his Mets career, where he just can't, like, put people away. He can't get out of jams and just mentally seems to unravel a lot.
He's walking guys.
And he walks a ton of guys. Like, and when you see him strike people out, like, he has pitches.
No, he's got good stuff. He does. It's just, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or like what.
I don't know. Because he was really given a spot in the rotation, basically, with Quintana injured. And the Met, like, had he pitched well, they wouldn't be in this spot. He would just be in the rotation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's puzzling, like, how that's played out. Because at the beginning of the year, too, I was like, oh, Peterson, he pitched great in spring training. Pretty good last year overall between bullpen and in the rotation. Like, why don't they just... like, just let him pitch in the rotation. Like, this shouldn't even be a question. Yeah. And then he pitched so badly that I'm like, they can't pitch him again. Like, they for a while.
Nope.
So it's bizarre how things have worked out so far this year. They've plugged in a few guys here and there. Lucchese had a few decent starts. Buto had, I think, two starts. I mean, I'm guessing he'll be mostly in AAA this year. But McGill, like, overall, yeah. Oh, when the year started, he was like the seventh guy on the depth chart. And
yeah, now look at him. He's been one of their better starters.
Yeah. You know? He's been one of their, like, if you need to.
Which he hasn't even been that good, but the starting rotation as a whole has been so bad that he's been one of their better starters.
Right. I mean, the Mets only have two starts of seven innings the entire season, and it's May 19th.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and one of them was
Joey Lucchese.
And the other Verlander. Was Verlander. So hopefully Verlander.
I think Verlander's going to be fine. I'm not worried about I'm a little worried about Scherzer, but I'm really not worried about Verlander. I think he's going to be okay.
Right. I'm not, like, worried about them per se. I just really think the Mets are going to need more length from their starters because the bullpen's been, like, pretty – the Mets haven't really blown that many games because of the bullpen.
I feel like they've been down some games and the bullpen made it worse, you know? But yeah. I don't think they've really – it's been late innings and maybe a couple. Like, Ottavino's been shaky, but the bullpen really, when they have a lead, they've been pretty good to hold it.
Right. So – but the thing is, again, I've said this, we've always said this, but like the best way to improve your bullpen is to have your starters be better. So if they really need more long-term, if the season is going to be successful, like they're going to need more 6-inning starts, period. And hopefully some more 7-inning starts because they cannot keep getting like 5 innings from their ace pitchers. That's not going to cut it. And like, you know, and we'll see from Senga. I know he's struggled with walks, but I really feel like if he can be a little more efficient, he could be a guy who could get you into the seventh inning pretty regularly with how many people he strikes out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he has thrown kind of a lot of pitches early in games, which has bogged him down a little bit. But I mean, his start the other day where he struck out 12 Rays
in
6 innings was phenomenal. And I'm not expecting that from him every time out, but I'm really intrigued by him in terms of what he can give you over the rest of the season in terms of, you know, strikeouts, but also just length in games. And that's really
going to just limit his walks. He'll be fine, I think.
Yeah. I think just starting pitcher is going 6 innings much more regularly is going to be crucial for the team going forward because they cannot keep having Steven Nogosek try to soak up 3 innings and pray that they win the game. Like that's not going to work.
It's not a winning formula.
No offense to him, but it's not going to work.
No, like, he's good, but you can't. No, you can't.
Tommy Hunter, he's fine, but they can't be like giving him.
He's been bad too.
Two and a third innings against good teams because the starter only went three. So
it's going to happen time to time, but it's happening like 2-3 times a week, you know?
Yeah. So that's going to be, I think, a huge key going forward. If, you know, the offense obviously has been a little inconsistent, but hopefully, I mean, we'll see what Carrasco gives you, honestly. I'm not expecting a ton from him, but maybe if he could be halfway decent, everyone else can sort of fall in line. We shall see. So on that note, I think that's pretty much all we have for this week. Thank you all so much for listening. As always, you can follow our podcast at Cohen's Corner Pod on Twitter. You can also follow me at NYMFan97, and you can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. So before we wrap up, Jake, anything, any last words, parting gifts?
Nope. Let's beat up the Guardians this weekend.
Yes. Let's hope so. And then let's have a good road trip after that. So thank you all so much for listening. And as always, let's go Mets.